greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Ritalin when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes, assuming, of course, that you're self-employed, paying that 15.3%. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income when you pay your income tax? Yeah, the income tax. Shouldn't you be paying the income tax on $42,350? The balance, instead of paying 17% of that $50,000 twice. Now, you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax. Then they turn around and make you pay 17% of the same $50,000 in income tax. Now, that means that you're paying 17% of the $7,650 twice. Now, that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and $1,300 from everyone else that pays that tax. Now, what would you think if Sears or Penny's or your credit card company charged you twice like Social Security and the IRS does? I thought you'd think that's just kind of special. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And while you're at it, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. And best of all, it's free. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. That's not free. And if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about Ritalin. About 12% of America's children are on Ritalin. 12%. Well, it's 12% of the boys. It's a lesser number for girls. We got 50 million kids in public school, in round numbers. So you take 12% half of that, 12% of 25 million, that's about 5 million. So you got 5 million boys on Ritalin, then you got a bunch more, girls. They're on Ritalin also. So, in all, you know, I think you could safely say that 10% of the children of America are now on cocaine. That's what Ritalin is. It's cocaine. So if you went to a druggist or if you went to the pharmacology books and you looked up this Ritalin, you got the formula for it and you chased it out, they'd tell you, oh, well, that's that stuff that comes from South America, particularly Colombia. It's called cocaine, sold over the counter, by prescription, by medical doctors, prescribed by, and it's championed by school teachers and social ladies all over America. And America's parents love it. Well, obviously, you gotta love something that you're paying 6 times more than you can pay for it on the street. You can buy cocaine for 17 cents on the dollar. It costs you 6 times that to buy the same cocaine out of the drugstore. Well, our 14-year-old son died from Ritalin use. That's the headline on an article from a website that I picked up here. And I'm going to share the website with you, and I'm going to share with you these parents' experience with their son. Now, not all kids die from Ritalin. In fact, it's very rare. it doesn't happen very often. Now, there are some side effects. I mentioned that to you in the last couple programs. And you got 35 side effects that come from this Ritalin. Yes, if you don't monitor this kid, and if you're putting him on Ritalin and you just leave him on there, there is a potential hazard of death. Thousands aren't very many out of millions, but thousands of America's children have died using Ritalin. Did you know that? Did anybody ever tell you that it isn't a few, it isn't 10, 20, 50, 100, it is thousands? How many thousand? I don't know. 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 have died from the use of Ritalin. And since Ritalin is used mainly on children, then we're killing mainly children. But when you stop to think about the millions that are on it, a few thousand who die is such a small percentage of the overall use, you know, it's a trade-off. All drugs have side effects, and just because you die, you know, from the drug that you're taking for your heart or your diabetes or whatever it is, doesn't mean that we ought to stop using it. I'm not opposed to drug use. If people want to use drugs, I guess they can do it. I'm not even opposed to suicide. I don't want to kill myself, but if you want to kill yourself, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, there's some things in life that are right, and there's some things in life that are wrong. Being able to decide right and wrong is quite a little challenge. There's a guy in the Bible, we call him God, and he says, this is right and that's wrong. And he decides right and wrong. In fact, he doesn't even apologize for it. You know, he says, I'm the creator. The heaven, the earth is my footstool and the heavens is my throne. And I made all of you jerks down there and I own all of you and I'll decide what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's sin and what's righteous. And that doesn't set well with us, of course. You know, we're sitting down here saying, well, who the hell does this guy think he is anyway, telling us how to live our lives, telling us what's right and wrong. And so we elect legislatures, and then the legislature comes along, and then they enact lesser bodies called the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, the Center for Disease Control, and so on. And then these people are staffed with professionals. They're doctors and PhDs and all kinds of real smart people with letters after their names. And these people invent things, you know, useful things like drugs. And then they tell us what's right and wrong. They say, well, Ritalin is good, but cocaine is bad. Morphine is good, but heroin is bad. Marijuana is bad, but we got a substitute over here that we've licensed, bonded, insured, and patented. And you can buy that over the counter down at Rexall, and that's good. So we decide what's good and bad. Now, unfortunately, out here in the real world, kids, there's consequences. Consequences. You know, we go down to Flo's whorehouse, and that was good. That was a good piece down there at Flo's. And then you come down with VD, and then we say, well, that's a bummer. Coming down with VD is a bummer, but one of Flo's girls, that's good. So we decide what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, what we want to do and what we don't want to do. These are just choices that we make in life. And then there are consequences that come from those choices. Sometimes the consequences aren't nearly as good as we had anticipated, not quite as good as we thought they were going to be. Or it was a hell of a lot worse than we had anticipated. So I try to learn from other people's mistakes. So when I see a headline that says, our 14-year-old son died from Ritalin use, I say to myself, my God, what is this Ritalin? What is this stuff that killed their 14-year-old son so that I can avoid that, so that I won't kill my 14-year-old son? Now, these people at the end of the article say, we put this out on our website, and we've created this website to warn you. We want you to know that this stuff is bad for you, and here's what happened to us when we used it, and we want to warn you so that this doesn't happen to you. And a lot of people do that. You know, their child dies for one reason or another, and they get this real bad feeling, you know. they say to them, they get a guilt complex is what it is. They feel real bad about it. And so then they want to go out and they want to warn everybody else. You see this in Reader's Digest all the time. Some kid dies, you know, in college because he has a binge drinking problem and he drinks himself to death. And the parents, when they're notified by the college personnel, you know, the management, they say, well, your kid's dead. He was out at a party the other night and he drank a whole fifth of Jack Bean or Jim Beam and he died. And then these people feel real bad, you know, and they say, well, we don't drink and we never drink and we don't smoke and why is our kid doing all that? Well, that's why, because you never taught this kid how to drink, never taught him how to smoke. I got to give my old daddy credit. You know, he taught me how to drink. He warned me about binge drinking. He said, you cannot drink a fifth of Jack Daniels. It'll kill you. And he told me about how many drinks you can drink. I heard about binge drinking when I was 12. My dad called my friends pimply-faced punks. He didn't approve of all of my buddies. And he said, them damn pimply-faced punks, you know, and he'd tell me old stories. And so he sat me down one day and he said, now, if you want a drink, you come drink with me. So he poured himself a drink. He used to drink whiskey with 7-Up, you know. He poured a drink, says, you want one? And I said, well, yeah, Dad, okay. Yeah, okay, Dad. And so I'm sitting there sipping on my drink. Now, I don't know if you ever had this experience, but, you know, when you're about 12 years old, a Pepsi-Cola tastes a lot better than whiskey. Whiskey's kind of bitter, kind of strong, you know, kind of chokes you up a little bit, and I didn't care too much for it. But my dad, he was kind of like Europeans. He was kind of like the old school. He thought that a kid is going to go out and drink at some point in time, and he needs to learn how to do that. And so my dad taught me how to drink, and he taught me how to smoke, and he taught me how to chase wild women. And so I experienced these things, but I didn't go to extremes, and I didn't kill myself. You know, he taught me how to drive. This is before we had driver's education in school. He took me out, and he said, let me show you how to drive. So you don't kill yourself. So you don't get hurt. And so my dad never did have a guilt complex. I never did get into a great amount of trouble. I caused a little hell and discontent, I'm sure, from time to time, but I didn't kill myself and didn't get into a heck of a lot of real bad problems, and I didn't turn into gang violence or drug addict or something like that. So my dad didn't need to open a website and spill his guts and explain to everybody about how he'd failed to raise his kid and how he failed to tell his kid what he needed to know to keep him alive. That happens to a few people, and so this is an example of it. And they start off on April 15th, 2001. This website was created in hopes of providing parents and guardians with information about the truth behind ADHD and the drugs used to treat children diagnosed with ADD or ADHD. So this website was opened April the 15th, 2001 to give you this information. And so I want to share this information with you. He says, we built this website because we didn't want other children to die or suffer the side effects because of their parents' lack of knowledge. And we did all that we could to convince state and federal government about the methods used in the misdiagnosis of thousands of children within ADD, attention deficit disorder, and ADHD, hyperactivity disorder of ADHD, and psychotropic drugging of children with Ritalin and other drugs. See? And so they did all they could to convince state and federal government about this, and they put the website out to tell you all about it. What I couldn't figure out as I read the article is how come these people didn't inform themselves before they gave Ritalin to their child? Because if these people had spent one-tenth of the amount of time, effort, and energy just looking into this Ritalin and ADHD back in 2000, they would have informed themselves, as I have over the last three or four programs informed you, as to some information that you need to know. Now, based upon what I've seen so far, I wouldn't give my kid Ritalin. I wouldn't tell you not to give your kid Ritalin. I don't know what's good for your kid. But I can see Ritalin's not good for my kid. I can see that already. But after these people had been cunningly coerced into waiving their rights by social lady and giving their kid the Ritalin, it went on for years, and the kid finally died. And then they felt real guilty about that. They felt real guilty. And so they went out and researched the subject, and boy, did they come up with a lot of information. Not much more than what I've already given you, but they came up with this much information. Had they had this information prior to giving their kid the Ritalin, they probably wouldn't have given their kid the Ritalin. And so I got to ask you the same question. Well, how come you don't take a little time and educate yourself to this Ritalin problem? And then you could make a better, more informed decision as to whether or not you ought to do this, instead of just following all the rest of the lemmings. Why don't you be an iconoclast and think about it independently all by yourself and come to a conclusion to make a decision? And maybe you'll decide to go along with all the rest of the lemmings, because that's what lemmings do. Or maybe you'll decide that, no, I think I'll break ranks and go do something different. So after these people had a bad experience and their kid died, they say, since the death of our 14-year-old son Matthew, caused from the use of Ritalin prescribed for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, our family has been informing others worldwide by way of the internet about ADHD and the dangers of psychotropic drugs in memory of our son and countless other children who have died over the years as a direct result of using psychotropic drugs. So, let me point out, boys and girls, it's not just Ritalin. So if you got your kid on some other kind of drug, and you say, oh, but my kid ain't on Ritalin. Okay. Excuse me, but psychotropic drugs sold under a different brand name. There's really no difference between Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola, except the board of directors and the CEO and the stockholders. The product, both of them, contain excessive amounts of toxic materials that cause your body harm. So, you know, if you want to drink Pepsi, get after it. You want to drink Coke, get after it. If you want to use some other kind of psychotropic drug, which is named something different than Ritalin, you know, go to it. But psychotropic drugs are psychotropic drugs, and they kill. But they don't kill everybody. You see, there are millions of kids out there that are taking these psychotropic drugs with no side effects, no problem. They didn't die. We don't know what it's doing to them over the long haul. We haven't got to the end of the experiment yet. We don't know how these kids are going to turn out, you know, when they're 35, 45, 55, 65, or 75. We haven't got there yet. We don't even know if they're going to live to be 35, 45, 55, 65, or 75. It's an experiment. It's a massive drug experiment being conducted by the pharmaceutical industry and the American Medical Association with the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Agriculture, the Congress of the United States, and we're waiting for the results to come in. Now, if you want to be one of the guinea pigs, get out there and get some Ritalin. Give it to your kid. So you can too, participate in this massive experiment. For my money, I don't want to experiment. I want to watch you experiment. And when you get through with the experiment, like these people here, and your kid dies, I say, aha! Better to have their kid die than my kid die. I know that's selfish and it's not kind and gentle, but these are the people that wrote the webpage up. I didn't. And they said, well, we made a mistake. We gave our kid Ritalin and he died. Now we want to warn you so that this doesn't happen to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm indebted to these people. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Like I said, better your kid dies than mine. That's just from my point of view. I'm sure they'd say, well, hey, I wish your kid had died and not ours. Well, for my money, I'm not in favor of people's children dying. I'm not in favor SID, sudden infant death syndrome. But for my money, it looks like to me that SIDS and autism is caused by vaccination. So I'm opposed to vaccination. I'm not vaccinating my children, but I wouldn't tell you that you shouldn't vaccinate yours. After all, you're an adult, and you've got rights, and you've got opinions, and you've got a mind of your own, and you certainly have the ability to search out. I mean, you can tune into the webpage or the internet just like I did and get the information just like I did. Now, if you're too damn lazy to do that, that's not my fault. these people were too lazy to look at the information prior to giving their kid Ritalin. Then after their kid died, they got busy and they did the research that they should have done before he died so that they could have made an informed decision as to whether or not they should have given him the Ritalin in the first place. And they didn't do that. It's the old story of, well, they locked the barn door, but they waited until the horse was stolen. People do that. People do that. And so I'd just as soon your horse gets stolen, your kid died, rather than my horse gets stolen and then my kid dies. And they say, we wish to expose the health risks, the dangers, the deaths, and suicides that are a direct result of administering Ritalin and other psychotropic drugs to children. Psychiatric. Repronounce that one. Psychiatric drugs. And we hope our story and information will in some way benefit your family and prevent our tragedy from being your family's tragedy, your family's reality, and your family's nightmare. God bless you people. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I'm glad there are people like this. And I hope that there's one or two or five or 100 or 1,000 of you people out there. Pay attention now. Not asking you to believe me. I never gave my kid Ritalin. He never died from Ritalin. So I don't know firsthand experience about this Ritalin. But these people had some firsthand experience. They done it. They've been there. And now they're reporting to you. They said our 14-year-old son Matthew suddenly died on March 21st, 2000. The cause of death was determined to be from long-term, that is, from age 7 to 14, use of, if I can pronounce this, methylphenidate. Methylphenidate, a drug commonly known as Ritalin. According to Dr. LJUBA, God, you know, you'd think we'd have a doctor over here named Jim, but it's not. It's LJUBA. I'm going to call him Juba. And then his last name, he's kind of an odd name here. Dragovic. Dragovic. I'm not making fun of you, Doc. I'm just suggesting that you get a strange name here. Dr. Juba Dragovic, the chief pathologist of Oakland County, Michigan. Upon autopsy, Matthew's heart showed clear signs of small vessel damage caused from the use of Ritalin. Caused small vessel damage. Yeah, it reminds me of Vioxx, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you had this remember this ad? And here's this ice skating star, you know, and she's out here and there's real nice music and she's skating around at 5 o'clock in the morning telling us all about the wonders of Vioxx and how she can still skate because, you know, without Vioxx she'd be all stove up with arthritis and rheumatism and all these little kids are out here skating after her, you know, and they're singing all these neat songs about Vioxx. And then we find out that Vioxx causes heart attack and stroke and kills people. About 50,000 people. Hey, didn't get the exact same result as you got from the advertisement on the CBS Evening News, now did you? And that's because these drugs are a practice of witchcraft. Witchcraft is strictly prohibited in the Bible. God told you not to do that, but then, of course, what the hell does God know? Yeah, what the hell does he know? Witchcraft seems to be a pretty good practice, and we like it, and it fits into our lifestyle, fits into our national economy, and we want to participate in it, and so we do. We don't call it witchcraft, we call it drugs. Drugs. And we're not opposed to drugs. We talk a lot about drugs. We got drug czars, and we got a war on drugs, but you know, when you get right down to bottom line, most of us are pretty much in favor of drugs. We're not in favor of old Jack down on the street corner's drugs, but we're all in favor of Rexall drugs. And these people went to Rexall, and they got the real drugs, the real pure stuff. I mean, the good stuff. That the doctors admit that they kill 130,000 people a year, and this guy Matthew is one of them. This guy Matthew is one of 130,000 people per year who are killed each and every year. In the year 2005, the American Medical Association and all of its member doctors killed 130,000 people that they admit to. That's what they admit to. They did it in 2004, 2003, 2002, 2001. They're doing it in the year 2006, and they're going to do it in 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010. They're going to kill 130,000 people a year, each and every year. Three times the number of people they killed over in Yeah, well, not three, but twice. Twice as many people as was killed in 10 years of war in Vietnam. They're going to kill them every year. Every year. Nobody's excited about that, unless, of course, it's your kid that they kill. Now, the truth of the matter is they're killing twice that many. It's a quarter of a million every year. And then there's other groups that come up with numbers like 500,000 to 1 million. Now, it's probably not a million, but it's a hell of a lot more than 130,000, and my guess would be somewhere between 130,000 and a million, about in the middle, probably 500,000. To be conservative, we'll just double the 130,000, 260, or about a quarter of a million people a year. That's a bundle of people being killed every year by drugs, like Ritalin. And Ritalin's not the only drug that kills people. Vioxx isn't the only drug that kills people. There's a lot of other drugs out there that's doing that. But see, on your death certificate, boys and girls, they're not going to put down there, killed by drugs. No, no. See, you've already got heart trouble. And so they put you on this drug medication, and then the doctor prescribed too much or not enough or the wrong drug, which kills you. And then they say, well, this guy already had heart trouble, so we'll put down heart attack. So you die from a heart attack. Well, no, you didn't die from a heart attack. You died from the drugs that they were using to treat your heart attack. And, of course, the drug did you in. Now, a 14-year-old boy ought not to have died, you know, and he died, and he had small vessel damage. He had heart damage. Well, what caused the heart damage? Pathologist says, well, it looks like another Ritalin death. Hell, they've had enough of these deaths and enough connecting links that they can identify it. Did you know that? Did you know that we can take a look at your kid on autopsy and say, oh, my God, this is another Ritalin case. This is another Vioxx case. Hey, this is another case of this drug. Oh, here's what happens. They know that. The druggists know it. The doctors know it. The pharmaceutical companies know it. The Congress knows it. The FDA knows it. The CDC knows it. The only people that are ignorant are you lay people out there. You people haven't got a clue. The doctor says, oh, here's a good drug for you. Take this drug. Oh, yeah, doc. Yeah, doc, I like this drug. Well, hell, you're probably using cocaine, heroin, and marijuana and have been most of your life. So what the hell is another drug over the counter? I told you the other day, you know, if you're 65 or older, on average, you're taking six drugs. You know, America's grannies and granddads are not opposed to drugs and drug abuse. They're all in favor of drugs, as long as they come from the drugstore. The certificate of death reads death caused from long-term use of Ritalin. I was told by one of the medical examiners that a full-grown man's heart weighs about 350 grams. Matthew's heart weight was 402 grams. Dr. Dragovic said, this type of heart damage is smoldering and not easily detected with the standard test done for prescription refills. The standard test usually consists of blood work, listening to the heart, and questions about school behavior, sleeping, and eating habits. Now, remember in the previous report I gave you, there's a protocol that you're supposed to go through, doctors, to monitor people to make sure that this doesn't happen. They looked at 400. This is the United Nations. Now, looked at 400 pediatricians, and not a one of them followed the protocol. They just prescribe Ritalin like they prescribe bubble gum. Now, what's important to note here is that Matthew did not have any pre-existing heart conditions or defect. Matthew's story started in a small town within Berkeley, Michigan. While he was in the first grade, Matthew was evaluated by the school, and they believed he had ADHD. The school social worker kept calling us for meetings. One morning at one of those meetings, while waiting for the others to arrive, Monica told us that if we refused to take Matthew to the doctor and to get on Ritalin, Child Protective Services could, not would, but could charge us for neglecting his educational and emotional needs. My wife and I were intimidated and scared, and we believed that there was a very real possibility of losing our children if we did not comply with the school's threats. I don't know about the school's threat, but here, you've got this young woman over here who's called a social worker. You know, she's probably about 25, 30 years old. And she graduated from college in social work. Remember, her IQ's down around 105. She's not one of the best and the brightest. She is not the sharpest marble in the drawer. And she probably believes in Ritalin. She believes in drugs. And so she wants to sell these drugs. And so based upon her position in the hierarchy, in the caste system of power in America, she's a social worker, and she says to this mother and father, you know, you could be charged with child endangerment, you know, or you could be charged with neglecting his educational and emotional needs. And so this man and his wife went ahead and gave this kid Ritalin and killed their kid. And that's why they feel guilty, is because they were too lazy at that juncture of time to say to the social worker, kiss my ass. That's what they were afraid to say. Bottom line. So after their kid dies, now they look back and they say, oh my God, I wished we'd have told her to kiss off, but we didn't. And so now the kid's dead, and so now they open up a website. They open up a website and say, well, gee, we want to warn you people. So let's start off with this warning. Schools cannot require ADHD drugs in any state in the United States of America. And your kid isn't going to be taken from you for child neglect because you refuse to give your kid cocaine. Let's grow up and get real. Now, just because some social worker, some school teacher says, why, we'll sue you. Okay, get after it. And I'll defend. I've had people say that to me. You know, I'm going to sue you. I'll tell them, get after it. Let's get with it. Now, a lot of people are easily intimidated, and it's time for you to wake up to reality. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. And just because somebody says, well, we're going to take your kid away from you, doesn't make that true. It wouldn't have made any difference in this case. If they'd have taken the kid away from him and given him Ritalin, they would have killed the kid. Then you could come back and say, well, you took my kid and you killed him. Now I'm going to sue you for wrongful death. I had that happen to me one time. They said, you know, they said to me that if you don't do this, that, and another thing over here, my wife was in the hospital. I'll give you a little background. She's in the hospital. She's going to have a baby. Doctor, he says to me, the doctor says, hey, your wife has to have a cesarean. I said, a cesarean? He said, yeah, you know, she's having problems and she can't have a baby. I said, let's go and talk to her. He says, oh, we can't do that. She's under sedation. But we need you to sign this permission slip or this form over here. And I said, no, doc, I'm not going to sign that. Let's talk to the woman and ask her if she wants a cesarean. Let's get her input. You know, before the husband walks in and says, yeah, go ahead and cut my wife's guts out. Don't you think we ought to talk to the wife and ask her, would you like to have your guts cut out, lady? I mean, it's a wild new thought that we might consult the patient about the therapy or the treatment. But I just thought I'd throw it out there for your consideration. And the doctor said to me, you know, in an emergency circumstance like this, we don't have to have you sign and give us permission. We can do it because we have the power. I said, sir, if you've got that kind of power, what in the hell are you asking me for? If you've got the power to operate on her against her will, against my wishes, against our complaint, why are you wasting time here? And I said to him, I said, rest assured and understand plainly, you do not have my permission. Don't do it. And I said, she's unconscious, and you said that of your own, out of your own mouth. I said, you don't have her permission. Now you take full responsibility, doc, and if anything goes haywire, rest assured, litigation will surely follow. You know, unlike these people here that said, well, we were intimidated and scared. I told that doctor where he could stick it in no uncertain terms. And when it was all said and done, there was a medical miracle. My wife awakened from the sedation, and the baby was born naturally, which is the way God intended it and designed it, and it was a medical miracle. And it cost the doctor $5,200, because that's what they wanted for the cesarean, was $5,200, as opposed to the $500 or $600 for the natural child delivery, natural birth delivery. So tuck it away in your hearts, you know, just because somebody tells you, counter with them and say, okay, if that's what you want to do, just take full responsibility. If anything happens to my boy because you're giving him these drugs, rest assured, know for a certainty that litigation will surely follow. And I think, boys and girls, you're going to be amazed at how many medical miracles will occur when the doctor, the hospital, the social worker, and the teacher have to take full responsibility for their actions. What they really want is for you to take full responsibility for their recommendation. And then when something comes out like this and your kid dies, oh, well, it's not our fault. Yeah, it's the social worker's fault, and it's the doctor's fault. And it's the teacher's fault, and in this case, it's the parent's fault. They're all at fault. They're all into this right up to their eyeballs. The doctor knew or should have known. The teacher and the social worker knew or should have known. These parents, before they submitted to this kind of bribery, this kind of threat, this kind of intimidation, should have educated themselves and been prepared. If it was required to litigate this clear to the United States Supreme Court, if that's what it took. The parents were too damn lazy. The teacher and the social worker were selling their product, and the doctor was getting paid, and so what did he care? And the kid's dead. And now these people feel real bad, and they put out a web page. And I'm grateful to them that they did. And they're paying a terrible price. The loss of their son, a terrible price for their damn laziness. Hang on, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School here of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the law or an editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Ritalin. ADHD, Attention Deficit Disorder. They've got three or four different names. And in previous programs, I went through the report on you, and I showed you mostly it's just bogus poppycock. That's what it boils down to. Bogus poppycock sold to the public, a gullible public, for the purposes of selling product. You know, it's like selling fluoride in the toothpaste. We got this deadly poison, and we're going to put it in the toothpaste and tell you that it cures cavities and and gingivitis and bad breath and 15 other things. Nothing but damn lies. But then, you know, as old Mark Twain said, you got lies, damn lies, and then statistics. Now, we gave in to the school's pressure, and we took our son to a pediatrician that they recommended. His name was Dr. John Dorsey of Birmingham, Michigan. While visiting Dr. Dorsey with the school's recommendation for Ritalin and Hant, I noted that he seemed frustrated with the school. He asked us to remind the school that he was not a pharmacy. Now, boys and girls, when you walk into the doctor's office, the doctor's a little ticked off. He said, you know, why don't you go back and tell him that I'm not running a pharmacy here? Wouldn't that be somewhat of a tip-off to you that the doctor wasn't wholly in favor of this Ritalin, that maybe had some reservations? You know, I would ask the doc, hey, wait a minute, doc. Is there something wrong with this Ritalin? Is there some reason why we might not want to take this Ritalin? Is there something that you know that we don't know? You suppose maybe that Dr. Dorsey would have said, yeah, let me tell you about this Ritalin. And let me steer you on to some literature over here. Anybody in his right mind, you know, would avoid this. But you see, what happens is this, and the doctors tell us very plainly. See, the people come into the doctor and they've got this prescription, or they got this need. And they say, Doc, my kid's got the sniffles and a cold, and we need a shot of penicillin. Now, the doctor knows that a cold is caused by a virus, that the flu is caused by a virus, and that penicillin and antibiotics have no effect at all on viruses, but the doctor shoots the kid up anyway because that's what the parents want. And so the doctor, not wanting to offend you parents by telling you how damn dumb you are, he says, okay, well, I'll give you a shot of penicillin. It's because the penicillin is fairly harmless. Well, it's fairly harmless today, tomorrow, and next week. But you see, your body develops an immunity to it. And all of this penicillin that we put in the milk and the cheese and we put into the chicken feed and the eggs and everything that we eat, pretty soon our bodies become immune. You know, they become so tolerant of these antibiotics that one day you actually get sick, you get pneumonia, and you really need an antibiotic. And lo and behold, the antibiotics they give you don't work because your immune system recognizes it and says, oh, this is an old buddy. We've had lots of it in here, and it does absolutely nothing for you. Now, you know, there might come a time when you might need one of those antibiotics. So just taking antibiotics to be taking antibiotics for viruses for which the antibiotic has no effect. And if you don't know that by now, you must be brain dead. Brain dead. Now, why Americans are demanding antibiotics for viruses, I don't know. But the doctors assure us that that's what's happening. And so they just acquiesce and give these parents antibiotics. They shoot their kids up because that's what the parents want. So this doctor, you know, he comes in. Here's another Ritalin case. These parents want Ritalin. The doctor knows that this Ritalin is garbage and probably potentially dangerous, but he says, you know, that's what they want. That's what I'm going to give them. Because that's business. Business. You don't want to alienate your customer. And you can rest assured that if this Dr. Dorsey had said, no, I'm not going to recommend Ritalin for that kid. I think Ritalin sucks. I think Ritalin is bad. Get out of here. Those parents, these people that now have this website warning you about this Ritalin, would have gone to another doctor to get the Ritalin. That's what they would have done. So this Dr. Dorsey's no dummy. He says, well, hell, I might as well make the $25 as opposed to somebody else. So he says, okay. But he gave him a warning. He asked us to remind the school that he was not a pharmacy. So I can only conclude from his comment that we were not the first parent sent to him by the school. And Dr. John Dorsey officially diagnosed Matthew with ADHD. The test used for the diagnosis was a 5-minute pencil twirling trick, resulting in Matthew being diagnosed with ADHD. This doctor didn't even follow the protocols that are specified for diagnoses. but then these parents didn't know what the protocol was because they didn't take any time to go find out, now did they? And most of you listening to me right now would not take the time to go research it out. Now, if I tell you, you might listen to it on the radio, and it might alert you. Say, so that when your kid comes home and he says, hey, I got a note from the teacher, and they say, here, you know, and then you read it and say, hey, this kid's sick and needs Ritalin, you might remember a year or 5 years from now, oh, God, I remember listening to this jerk on radio one day, and he said, this Ritalin isn't too good for him. Maybe I ought to look into this. Hell, if that's all it does, it'll be worth taking the time, effort, and energy. Hell, it might save your kid's life. It's important to note that the school's insistence and role in our son's drugging was documented in a later letter written by Monica, the social lady, to the pediatrician stating, we would have hoped you would have started Matthew on a trial of medication by now. So this is being promoted by the social lady. Now, what in the hell does this social lady know about drugs, Ritalin? What's her thing in it? Is she a stockholder in Novartis? Has she been to medical school? Is she a trained diagnostician? See, I don't know what her role in the whole game is. I know what the doctor's role in the story I told you before the break. See, when my wife was in the hospital having a baby, the doctor comes in. Now, he's got a boat payment coming up. He's got house payments, and he's got overhead and taxes to pay, just like all the rest of us. To deliver a baby, he gets $600. To do a cesarean, he gets $5,200. And you've got financial pressure, and you've got bills you got to pay, so it doesn't take you very long to figure out that with this Mrs. Gordon in here, I would like to do a cesarean on her. In spite of the fact that this woman is 40 years old, and she's already had 4 babies. This doctor didn't know my wife from Alice in Wonderland. But he's recommending that she have a cesarean. Now, I want to tell you, boys and girls, my wife had 4 miscarriages before she had her first baby. She never had a problem having a baby. They fell out of her. In fact, her problem was keeping them in, not getting them out. Now, that's the way that game was played. In fact, she never had a labor that was over 1 hour. 1 hour. I mean, from the time her water broke, by God, in 60 minutes, you better have her where you want that kid dumped on the floor because he's coming out. And this doctor says to me, why, you know, we don't need your permission. Why, in a medical emergency, why, we can take action without your consent. What a pompous ass. And it was one of the highlights of my entire legal career to say, well, get right after it. Doc, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. You know, you just take full responsibility and rest assured that if anything turns out poorly over here, that litigation's going to follow. It's called malpractice. Now, doctors, they don't like that malpractice word. You know, that's like the F word. It's like the N word, you know, malpractice. That's the M word. They don't like that. And you ought to be the person, you know, that's able to bring the action, you know, some social lady, you know. I tell a story over here. I had a nurse one time call me from the school, my little boy Ted, you know. I had him in a private school over in Berkeley, California. And, you know, he's doing pretty well over there, you know, for a dumb blue-collar worker's kid, you know, in a private school. And things are going along pretty good. And one day the kid comes home, and he's got this little message, this note, you know, and I read the note, and it said, please be informed that next Wednesday we're going to have vaccination. Please sign the bottom of this permission note so that your little boy Teddy can be shot up, you know, with snake venom and monkey pus and all the good stuff that goes along with it. Well, I looked at that little note there, and I said, oh, my God, I'm going to take action here. So I took the note, and then I wrote a little letter to go along with the note, and I said, now, do not shoot my kid up. Don't vaccinate my kid. Don't make a mistake next Wednesday now and shoot my kid up. If there's going to be a problem with my kid being in school and you might accidentally vaccinate my kid, I'll keep him home that day to make sure that there's no mistakes. And I put this little blurb at the bottom and I said, if you screw up and you vaccinate my kid, you can rest assured that litigation will surely follow. Sent the kid back to school with the note. I got a call from the school nurse, and she said, Mr. Gordon, I want to tell you of some facts that you may not be aware of. And I said, say on. And she preached me a sermon for about 5 minutes over the telephone about how vaccinations had saved the world from disease, and how without vaccinations we'd all be dead and buried by now, and that the entire evolutionary process would have come to a sudden screech and halt if mankind had not discovered vaccination and intervened in natural selection. She got all through with her sermon, and I said, oh, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, effort, and energy. I like to be kind and courteous, and thank you for your time, effort, and energy. And I want to tell you now that on Wednesday, when this vaccination process is put into effect, I do not want my boy Tad vaccinated. I want to emphasize, do not vaccinate my boy. Now, if there's some problem that might develop by me sending my kid to school next Wednesday, tell me now, and I will keep him home from school so that we don't have an accident. Now, I was kind of serious about this vaccination thing. Unlike these people here, I have researched vaccination. I'm pretty knowledgeable about vaccination. I'm in a very small minority of 12% of the American public that is opposed to vaccination. The other 88% of you people out there are all in favor of it. And the 88% of you that are in favor of it probably never read a word or a line or an article or know diddly squat about it. But I do. And I did then. And I had come to the conclusion that vaccination was bad for me, bad for my family, and bad for my kid. That was my conclusion. That was my choice. And this woman practically said to me, you must hate your child not to have him vaccinated. I just couldn't resist the temptation with a challenge like that. And I said to this lady, I said, well, excuse me. Maybe there's something I don't know here. Let me ask you a question. Is it true that you're going to vaccinate all the little boys and girls next Wednesday? Yep. How many? 40. 40 kids in the class. We're going to vaccinate them all. Well, all but little Teddy. I said, okay. So you're going to vaccinate 39. And little Teddy ain't going to be vaccinated. Now, let me ask you this. If the other children are all vaccinated, my little Teddy isn't vaccinated, is my little boy Ted, if he were to come down with measles, mumps, or rubella, a threat to the other 39 kids? Oh, no, no. No, in fact, they're all protected. Good. I said, now, once these other kids have all been vaccinated, can they give my little boy Ted measles, mumps, or rubella? Oh, no, no. See, they're immune. They're immune from these diseases. And I said, okay. My little boy Ted's no threat to them, and they're no threat to my little boy Ted. Now, my Ted is not going to be vaccinated, and he's not a threat to the other 39 kids. So what seems to be the problem here? And there was a long, pregnant pause on the other end. And that's what happens when you introduce reason, logic, and common sense into the equation. It just squirrels the conversation every time. And she started off on, she changed the subject. She started off on this, well, you know, vaccination is well proven and well accepted. And I said, I don't doubt that. Lady, 88% of the people in America, including you, believe in vaccination. I've researched it. I've looked into it. I've come to a conclusion. My conclusion is it sucks. I don't want it, and I don't want to buy it. And so you've admitted to me that my kid is no threat to those other children, and those children are no threat to my kid. So everybody's got the best of both worlds. My kid can't get disease from those other children because they're immune. And my kid cannot give any disease to those kids because they're immune. So my kid is the only kid there that isn't protected. And he's not a threat to them, and they're not a threat to him. And we can all go away from the table happy. And so we hung up, and I'm sure that, you know, that lady is, she's probably an old lady today, and went, or she went to her grave fully believing in the miracle of vaccination. Just like many millions of people are going to go to their graves and probably go to their children's funerals in some cases, believing in the miracle of Ritalin. I don't know. I'm not here to tell you not to give your kid Ritalin. I'm just here to report that thousands of children who are taking Ritalin die from Ritalin. And here's a case example. Now, out of the millions that take Ritalin and the few thousand that die from it, it's no big deal. It's kind of like vaccination. You know, we vaccinate 50 million kids and only 3,000 of them die every year. Well, you know, percentage-wise, it's 0.00129%. But by golly, boys and girls, if you're one of those 0.00129% and it's your kid that dies, it's a tragedy all of a sudden, and you're going to want to open a web page. So before you get to where you want to open a web page and warn everybody about the hazards, why don't you educate yourself in advance? That's what I did with vaccination. I took a look at vaccination. I said, I know that everybody does it. I know that everybody's in favor of it. My hang-up was my old granny. See, I was raised in the era before vaccinations. You know, before the era of all this modern medicine. And my old granny, you know, she didn't have any vaccinations, and she lived to be a ripe old age. And she said, you know, if God had intended for you to have vaccinations, he would have made you with a needle sticking right out of your arm, and all they have to do is walk up to you and stick the syringe on the needle that's already there, shoot you up. And because he didn't do that, she kind of figured that maybe that wasn't necessary. And my old granny always figured that if it wasn't broke, don't fix it. It's an old adage. The old timers used to say that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, if you got pneumonia, it's broke, we need a fix. But, you know, if your kid's running around the classroom and he's jumping up and down, you ought to be thankful that he's alive and well. I'm a farmer. I'm a rancher out here on the ranch. When I've got a calf that's moping around with his head hanging down, that's not a good sign. When I've got a calf that's romping around the field and racing up and racing back and jumping up and down, that's a healthy calf. Be thankful that you got this healthy, robust, anxious, and feisty little calf out here, as opposed to this drugged up little critter over here that's just barely able to breathe, who's on the verge of dying. Well, tuck that one away in your heart. And I'm going to put a check mark right here on this report on our 14-year-old kid died. And I'm a little hard on these people over here, but then, you know, they had a choice to make, and they made their choice, and they came to regret the choice. And I made a choice, and my kid's 35, 40 years old right now, and I'm not sorry that I told that nurse to kiss off that we weren't vaccinating him. My kid didn't develop autism. He didn't die from SIDS. My kid didn't. Somebody else's did. All right, we're out of time. I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.